When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
WGN. Hi, everybody. I'm Jane Manzuris, filling in for my good friend Anna DeVlantis. Was she on vacation?
Yeah, she's on vacation.
Anna, she's very private. I mean, she's a good friend of mine. I guess I should know where she's at, but I think I have a feeling where she is on vacation. It could be multiple spots.
She's not like on vacation. Like, she hasn't left.
Oh, she's still in town.
Yeah, she's in town.
Oh, I wonder if she's getting me a Christmas present.
That could be it. I'm not supposed to say.
You're not supposed to say. She's very private, so she wouldn't tell anybody if that was the case. She's probably like, what is she talking about? I would never buy Jane a present. No, I'm kidding. I love filling in for Anna. I'm not going to be as intelligent or smart as Anna, but that's okay. You know, we all have our role in this life.
You are smart. You are beautiful. You are kind. Do you remember that?
And people really like me.
I think the sentence was, you're smart enough.
Yes, you're smart enough to fill in for 2 hours, Janie. So, guys, I normally host a TV show called Living Healthy Chicago, and it airs on the Mothership tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what we have coming up on the show tomorrow. But I spent my day yesterday in an airport. And there's lots of annoying things that happen there and on the plane. And so, Steve, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I was on a plane and I can't stand it when people bite their nails anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So the question that I have for everybody is the most annoying bad habit that somebody else does that drives you batty. So here I am sitting on a plane. So Kurt, my husband, bites his nails. I swap his
hands. 8 weeks.
In what?
8 weeks.
8 weeks? 8 weeks? Did I miss something?
No. Wasn't that your anniversary? You
oh,
said
yeah.
8 weeks? Yeah.
8 weeks. He still bites his nails. Yeah, thanks. So how easily I forgot that I've been married for 8 weeks. but when Kurt bites his nails or my sister or my brother, I swat their hand from their face because it drives me nuts.
Okay.
I'm on the plane and the guy next to me on my left on the way out biting his nails a little bit. And I said, well, I can't swap his hand away. I don't know this man, but it drove me a little bit nuts. The guy on the way home had his entire 10 digits in his mouth, so he would chew his nails down to a nub.
So maybe you attract these people somehow.
I guess, or I just let it annoy me.
Right.
Too much, and maybe it shouldn't annoy me that much, but the guy next to me, if I thought the guy on the way out was bad, the guy on the way back was far worse, because he had one finger, all the fingers, he was watching a movie, he was really into it.
Was it a suspense film?
I don't know, maybe? I didn't know, it was on his phone, I was trying to see what it was, but you know, I was just didn't want to look
maybe
at him.
Maybe he was just really tense.
Maybe he was tense sitting next to me.
Maybe.
Yeah, he thought I was going to swat his hands from his mouth.
So you swat your husband's hands if he bites his fingernails?
I do. Is that bad?
What is he? How does he react?
Nah, I don't hit him hard. I just, stop.
Okay.
Stop. But I can't do that to a stranger. And so when I see a stranger biting their nails, the guy next to me then looked at his fingers with saliva connected from his lips to his fingers. And then he started on the other hand. And I think maybe he didn't know he was doing it. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but then it's driving me crazy. So I realized that the thing that drives me the most crazy, an annoying bad habit other people do, is nail biting.
Okay, so I fly quite a bit, or, you know, have long flights, and I will take my shoes off, being stocking feet. Would that bother you?
Not at all.
Oh,
guy next to me, I thought he was, I looked at him like, oh, he's comfortable. How nice is that?
Oh, so I'm assuming that would bother a lot of people.
It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, as long as they're not smelly, but for the most part, there's other smelly things on an airplane.
I was going to say, there's so many smells on the airplane. Who would know?
Somebody's masking it with the food they're bringing. But are there any annoying habits that you notice that other people do? It doesn't have to be on a plane. It could be anywhere. And I want to actually open up the phone lines in the texts. I want to know what annoys people the most. 981-7200. Steve, do you have an annoying habit that other people do?
Well, you know, I don't like it if the person behind me uses my chair to help themselves get up. You know what I mean? So they reach on your seat and then pull you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sometimes, I guess, if you have a hard time getting up, I understand that. But I love to look out the window of airplanes. I could fly for 8 hours and just look at if it's icebergs or ocean, or I could just love doing that. And there's a new trend now of they really encourage the airlines, the passengers, to close all the windows.
Right, because they want it dark.
I guess so. I mean, even if it's in the middle of the day, because it's so sunny outside, or I don't know what the issue is, but I don't like that. And so I don't like it when people around me close their windows.
I don't like it either. And I because I sit in the window sometimes, I'll leave it open if I'm doing work, because I do a lot of work on the plane.
There's so many cool things you can see out the window of an airplane.
I think during the day I like it because I like the windows open. I like this bright sunlight. At night I'll close it because then it kind of creeps me out, because I don't know. That is the unknown.
You don't want to see that guy standing on the wing.
Don't jump, buddy. You're going to be okay. How did he get out there? No, they close the windows, or they close the shades because they want to keep it cool.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what they say.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes some sense, I guess. I mean, I get it at night, but during the daytime, it's now become this sort of default where they close it. And, sometimes you don't have a direct view of a window. You have to look behind you or ahead of you. My wife hates it because I'm always like, hey, can you see this? And of course, she's sitting next to me, so she can never get the same angle or see things. But
do you take pictures?
I have taken pictures. There's like a northern pass when you come in from Europe over Canada. There's these beautiful white mountains. I don't really know what the range is, but yeah, I have. Or the glaciers you can see. I mean, icebergs you can see off Greenland. Glaciers in Greenland. Yeah.
Well,
I love that.
You do a lot of traveling too, so you are seeing some unique terrain.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I close the window. I don't take any pictures. Although, if I'm coming into something I really need to look at, my nose will be smashed up against the side of the window, which probably is not so clean.
No, but again, there's so many dirty spots in an airplane, you're fine.
I know, and people come in and they wipe it all down. But
again, they don't wipe down the windows.
You wipe down, that could be the next thing. Although I do think that germs are important. Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother topic.
We need germs.
We absolutely need
germs. Thank you, I'm glad to hear you say that.
We need germs. Alright, so germs don't annoy me, open the window doesn't annoy me, but what I want to know most is from everybody else. I'm going to talk about these in our next segment. The most annoying things, and I think I'm going to give away a prize for the most annoying. What do you think, Jazzy?
I think that's good.
Okay.
So, I think that's good.
All right. We'll give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Send me a text. Give a call. Let me know what your most annoying habit that other people do that drives you nuts. And we'll talk about it next. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hi there. Jane Munzer is filling in for Anna DeVlantis, who is taking a day off today. Before the break, we were talking about annoying habits that drive you nuts that other people do. Mine is nail biting. I'm surrounded by nail biters, it seems, everywhere I go. And I can't swat hands away, especially, you know, especially if strangers. But if it's a real saliva-y nail bite, it just drives me nuts. But Jasmine, do you have an annoying habit that drives you nuts?
Yes. I think this is everybody's annoying habit. Well, maybe just mine. I hate when people chew loudly, like the I can't. You are grown. I can't do this.
Do you think they know they're chewing loudly?
I think they know it too, because I know I look at people like, are you just doing that intently, or do you just hate me because it's really loud?
And can you see the food? As
right.
It's
can you see
the
food? Why do I need to see it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think if you're watching a movie or eating dinner, or you're at a loud restaurant or the TV's on or something, maybe you're not hearing the chew. But when it's completely quiet.
Right. Like, I can understand chips, because chips, you know, they crunch and it's like that. But when you're just like, no.
Yeah.
No, I hate it.
I hate it, too. Okay, we're going to take some calls here and give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus locations in Chicagoland, or order online at loumalnatis.com. Let's say hi to Abby. Abby, are you there?
Hi.
Abby, you have a problem with people and their feet.
So, I travel with my husband quite a bit, and we were on an airplane, and the woman behind us, without her socks, put her feet in between both of our armrests. So she was touching us, both of our elbows, with the one foot, and it was disgusting.
Did you say anything?
I kept nudging my elbow so that she would get the hint, and all she did was like scooch it down a little bit, and then when we would move our elbow, she'd just scooch it right back up, and I was
it's a barefoot. Yeah, I don't like when people put their feet on the dashboards of cars when they're driving around.
And not just that, like, it's an airplane.
I know. You're right.
It was a long flight. It was not a short flight.
Oh, that's too bad.
How old was she?
She was, I want to say, maybe in her 50s.
Wow.
I think you should know better by then. I'm surprised the flight attendants didn't actually ask her to take her feet down.
Yeah. And this was, like, not in the back of the plane. Like, we were pretty close that somebody could have seen and said something.
Gross. I would have given her a pair of socks. They give those out in first class. We could have borrowed one from them. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you.
Okay, John, you what is your, it's an annoying habit that other people do that drives you nuts that you can't say anything about?
It is a buddy of mine I've known for years, and we work with clients. We're carpenters, and he adjusts himself. What I mean by with men, they may do it quickly if the clothes are not fitting, whatever the case may be, but he will stop and do it for a long period of time, and you're just sitting there looking at him. It's like, come on, it's ridiculous. That's one thing that drives me crazy, and he does it all the time, and honestly, he realizes it.
Can you say anything to him?
Oh, I told him all the time. I said, dude, you know, go take care of yourself. Go take a shower. Do what you have to do. He's like, I'm not even paying attention that I'm doing it.
Oh, he doesn't even know.
No.
I think, I don't know if you guys agree with me, but a habit that somebody has is something they do unconsciously. They don't know that they're actually doing it. Like, he probably doesn't realize it, or the guy biting his nails is so enthralled in the magazine.
Yes, it's so embarrassing when I'm there, because I'm there and other people are there, and then he'll stop. He'll be in the middle of a conversation, and then all of a sudden he'll stop, and he'll adjust himself, not just once, not twice. He'll take his leg out to the side, and he'll move his butt back. It's like, oh, my God. It's one of those things I had to call in. I love you guys, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
No problem. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Hey, Mary. Oh, Mary.
What? Hello.
Hi, Mary. You're
on the air. I'm with you who said the chewing, but I was going to specifically say chewing gum. These people, they got their mouth wide open, and they're chewing for, it seems like, I mean, they're chewing gum the whole time you're on the plane or whatever. And I find that worse than nail biting, don't you?
Yeah, you know, the chewing gum. Ooh. We've got, I think she got the radio on there. Mary, I'm going to keep talking, but we got a little reverb. Thank you for calling.
Oh, it's my landline, I bet.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, Sandy, hold on a second. I think the chewing gum, it's like that smacky chewing gum in the back of your mouth that sort of clicks and pops and all that stuff. Let's see, we got Sandy.
Yes.
Sandy.
Yes.
You have an annoying habit.
Here.
Sandy, you're a woman, but now you're going to say something that men do that annoy you.
Oh, men spit on the street. Don't they think women have post-nasal drip? We know to use a tissue.
You've never seen a woman spit?
Not usually. I usually see men, and it drives me out of my mind.
And you don't say anything, right? Because you can't.
Of course I do.
Oh,
of course
do.
I do. If I'm close enough, I do. I'm at the age where I don't care.
And that's okay, too. I just saw the other day, a guy was walking, and he just... Oh, well, I was watching a triathlon, so maybe this is appropriate. But he closed one nostril, and he spit out of his nostril.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or they open the car window, and they spit, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, gross. Thanks, Sandy. Have a good afternoon.
Have a great one.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Super funny. What about this one? What drives me crazy is droplets. Jasmine, you're going to know this one. Droplets on the toilet seat.
What?
So you walk into a public bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, if you sprinkle when you tinkle, be sure to wipe the seats. We all remember that one. Well, people that don't wipe the seat, and I walk into the stall, and I'm just like, oh, it's so gross. So I don't know if that's a bad habit or something that I can't help, but it's something that drives me absolutely bananas. If you have a bad habit that somebody else is doing. No, it's not your bad habit. Or do you have a bad habit that you don't know about?
I think I have a bad habit of, like, cleaning, like OCD cleaning, like 12 times. Yeah.
Is that bad?
I mean, it can be excessive.
That's like saying I care too much, Jasmine.
Stop, Steve. No, seriously. Like, I will clean my shower at least 3 times before I just actually get in the shower. Like, it's weird. I don't know.
Just only at your house?
Only at my house.
Does your family think that's a bad habit?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
They just think it makes me feel good, so they just leave me alone.
I would be appreciative if you were cleaning my house.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, I would be okay with that. Although, if someone told me to stop, I don't know. Maybe you can make money cleaning houses that way, too.
That is true. Side hustle.
Yeah, side hustle. Jasmine's cleaning service. Jazzy here. Okay, let's see. Mary Jane? Mary Jane? Hi. You're on the air, Mary
Hi.
Jane.
I don't have this habit, but lots of people do lots of other things, but to me, the most offensive is picking your nose in public.
That is pretty gross. How often do you see...
Oh, it's awful. And it doesn't seem to matter where they are. Oh, but it's just pretty bad.
So the funny thing is, think about this, Mary Jane. You see an adult just going deep and getting in there to pick their nose, and it's like, oh, that's gross. But when you see a little kid, like a little tiny kid, and their fingers up their nose, it's so cute.
Well, you don't see as many kids do it as you do adults.
Yeah, again, I think, again, it drives you nuts, bad habit, check, check. Is it something that they're doing on purpose? I don't know.
It's gross.
It is gross. Thanks, Mary Jane.
Bye.
You know, if you've seen those people that you're driving by or you're at a stop sign and you look over and they're picking their nose. We've all seen them. I know you have, but it drives me nuts. All right, listen, we got a gift certificate here for Luminati's for the most disgusting bad habit that you might ever see. We talked about loud food chewing, droplets on a toilet seat, gum smacking, gum clicking. Biting the nails is my worst, my least favorite bad habit that I have seen.
I like the spitting thing, personally. The spitting thing is nasty.
Is that a bad habit? Would you throw that in the bad habit?
I know people who do it, like, religiously, and you tell them, like, hey, that's gross. They're like, whatever, I gotta do it.
You mean it's part of their religion?
You know, Steve, you've been picking on me all day. That's a no-no. No,
stop.
You know what I mean.
Do you think that's a nasty habit, Steve?
It depends on where you are. I don't usually, well, I will sometimes, you know, if I feel the need, but no.
If you don't have a tissue, then you gotta do it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't do it either, unless I'm really sick.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. The gum smacking is
another
bad one too. Yeah, we got a bunch of people here calling. Okay, so what do we got, Jazzy?
I don't know.
You don't have this person?
No. Yeah.
It looks like George has got something happening here, but he's not there. Okay, very good. So again, my nasty bad habit that drives me nuts, and I'm happy to get it off my chest, and I'm happy to throw my sister, my brother, and my husband under the bus, say they bite their nails. I don't. I'm thinking they should get a no chip, maybe, and then they don't have to bite their cuticles. That's just my opinion. Okay, so we got Kevin, and he's going to talk about his nasty bad habit. I don't know if you can break a bad habit after 28 days if somebody brings it to your attention, or if there's something way to do it. But I definitely think people are not doing their bad habits because they know they're doing it. Kevin, what is a headphone bad habit?
Hi, I ride the CTA every day, buses and trains, and people who just have loud music with their phones, without their headphones, and they have no regard for the passengers right next to them.
Yeah, and you can hear their music. I hate that.
And it's sometimes it's that loud, obnoxious music, and also people just having conversations on their phone, and they get really loud and very personable. They swear and holler and have arguments. Just the other day on the red line, this guy was having a fight with somebody on his phone. You could hear him. Everyone was staring at him, and, you know. It was terrible.
You bring up a good point. Yeah, you bring up a good point. People, you know, I try not to talk loud, like, in any public transportation, but it sometimes you can't help it if it's calls coming in, you're trying to get out of it. But the loud music on the headphones, really annoying. But do you say something to that guy?
You're inviting a fight if you want to say something to someone like that, because they are not at all aware of nor concerned about the others.
This is true. You're right. You're right. What do you think?
I almost got one. That's why.
Say that again.
I nearly got in a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, buddy, ever heard of a pair of headphones? They don't like that.
No, yeah, it's true. It's true. You got to just move away from that guy and find another space. Thanks, Kevin.
Or dump your coffee on his head.
Or accidentally dump your coffee on it. Thanks, Kevin. Hi, Anthony. Do you have a nasty habit that drives you bananas?
Yes, I have a friend we play basketball with, and as we're playing and we're all sweaty, he slips his hand onto his buttock and then pulls it out and puts his fingers in his mouth.
Oh, Anthony!
That has to be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
You're going to tell the guy, go wash his hands. Hang on right there, Anthony.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. The other thing that I notice is monopolizing a conversation at a holiday party. The person keeps talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and then you can't get away from them. Annoying habits that you just can't get away from. We will be right back after news, 720 WGN. Cut them off. They're too cute. All right. Well, the holidays are here, whether you like it or not. The calendar pages are turning. We're at 12 days away from Christmas. It's not the 12 days of Christmas, because that doesn't start till Christmas, but these are 12 days before Christmas. Jasmine, have you started your holiday shopping?
Nope, and I probably won't start till next week.
I haven't done it either. Nope. I think every July, I'm like, oh, I'm going to start right now. And you know, I'm crafty. I like to make things. Yeah,
you're great.
I don't do a thing.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. I just get busy and swamped. And the bigger problem, in my opinion, is that it gets harder and harder and harder to buy for people the older I get and the longer I know somebody. Because I'm like, oh, they already got everything. What do they need? They're not doing it. And then every year my family says, oh, we're not doing presents this year. Janie, don't get any presents. We're not doing, but we do it anyway. We always get a present. So, you know, I figure if I don't give somebody something, we're going to look at them. We're going to eat and look at each other. So if you're in my boat and Jasmine's boat and you haven't started your holiday shopping yet, I have got a real surprise and treat for you. I've brought in the experts to help us out. We have got the trend expert, Katie Crabtree from Bloomingdale's, and from our friends over at, Chicago Tribune. We have got David Sirik, and he's the Chicago Tribune fashion and consumer editor. Hi, guys.
Hey, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so grateful you're here. I got nothing. I mean, should I just skip the whole buying, or are there some trends and things I should be looking at?
There are definitely some fun things, so I wouldn't skip it this year. And we definitely have at Bloomingdale some things that you can make things, too. As you said, you're very crafty. We've got some things that someone can be making their gifts as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so David, you wrote a whole entire article about the ultimate gift guide for men.
Yes.
And do you have a top pick on that, or you want to give me your top three?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that you should think about is that, generally speaking, men are creatures of habit. And if a guy finds a brand that he loves, he's going to stick with it. So the holidays and holiday shopping is a great time to help guys expand their style horizons a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, personally, of kind of splurging on the accessories, shoes, sneakers, hats, outerwear. And in the Chicago Tribune gift guide this year, one item that we put in, it's really great, it's a J-Press fleece vest.
Oh.
And with an accessory like that, a guy can basically be wearing just about anything. And, you know, you put on this cool fleece vest and all of a sudden you're elevated.
Is it affordable?
It's totally affordable. That's the thing. With the gift guide this year, you know, we have a range of products and a range of prices. Things for the broke millennial, things for guys. We wrap up the back of the gift guide with the splurge fantasy items. And all of these are also online in an expanded gallery at chicagotribune.com.
And so you guys sort of just like trolled the entire universe of gifts and you were like, this is what we think is hot.
Yeah.
And then our friends over at Bloomingdale's probably sell some of these things. Katie, there's a pair of socks that I'm really, really obsessed with. Are socks trending for guys? Because I've noticed that a lot of guys wear different socks. Like they wear mismatched socks.
Yeah, Happy Socks is one of the brands that we carry.
Yeah.
And they've really come up with these great patterns and made kind of socks a little bit more fun. So when you sit down, you see a little bit of that pattern popping out. We've got those at our store that we love. And then we have three different gifting sections, gift shops this year. So we've brought in some extra product. And in one of our sections called No Space Like Home, that we think is really more of JOMO, the joy of missing out, we've got some really cozy, fuzzy socks as well that you can wear while you're chilling at home and watching Netflix.
Okay, so is it thumbs up from both of you guys or thumbs down on a pair of socks?
I say thumbs up if you're getting something fun with a cool pattern.
I say thumbs up if it's something unique and special.
Can we put that just in the stocking and it doesn't have to be the gift?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I think that, you know, one thing to pay attention to is kind of thinking about a guy's interests and using those as a jumping off point to give him an upgrade.
If they have interests, they have all that stuff already.
how can you give the upgrade? So, for example, a lot of companies are doing really interesting collaborations where they pair together with a hip new designer and they create kind of one unique items that are limited edition. So, for example, if your guy's really into biking, this year, Paquito and Thousand Helmets got together to create a really hip kind of 80s inspired bike helmet.
Mm.
And it's limited edition, so you're not going to see everyone have it. Another fun one is Tiffany and Company have created a line of products called Everyday Objects. And the one that we featured this year is their sterling silver harmonica.
Oh, cool.
So if he wants to get a little Bob Dylan on, he can go with that.
Katie, I do a lot of makeup events at Bloomingdale's. Mm-hmm. I host a lot of shows with these guys, which is super fun. So I'm always running around the makeup department. And so right. I think makeup's a really great gift, especially for the YouTubers. Maybe your granddaughter or grandson is, you know, watching all the tutorials on YouTube or even doing their own with makeup. Are there great gift sets? Is that a good idea? Do you think a gift set?
I think that's a great idea. We've got tons of gift sets in cosmetics now and fragrances, but I think what's really special is our mini bar concept right now. So you can kind of create your own little gift. We have little bags, that you can put it in that have a real holographic theme. Uh-huh. And the mini bar has got tons of sheet masks, products that are a little bit smaller size so they can mix and match and try new samples. A lot of the products we don't typically carry in the store, but we are for holiday.
Oh, so right now, and from the expertise, David, of having shopped everywhere, and then from the expertise of being in a store, are we seeing more items in store now during the holiday season that we may not see throughout the year?
I think we're seeing more special items in store. Like I said, there are holiday gift packages. There are a lot of collaborations that are created for the holidays specifically. And there are also a lot of deals and promotions that companies like to do at the holidays. So in terms of, like you were talking about, makeup and cosmetics, I think on the guy's end, they still tend to shy away from grooming products. And I think that that's a great opportunity to introduce them to some moisturizers and lip balms and things that they probably or may not buy themselves. Mertz Apothecary in the Palmer House is a great source for things like that, really unique items from, you know, toothpaste to moisturizers.
Yeah. I love that too, because I love the idea of getting somebody something that they may not buy for themselves, like a massage. Like maybe you don't get, or a pedicure or a manicure. Maybe a guy doesn't do that, and that's a great gift. Go get a little pampering in, enjoy and relax, and maybe that's a gift idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, in one of our other gift shops is all about travel, so it's our ready to lift off and kind of playing off that, we have Acqua di Parma, which is a great men's cologne brand, but they now have a travel gift set. So it's got a shaving cream, an aftershave, a deodorant, a shower gel, and a cologne. So if he's traveling a lot for business, it comes in a great case and it's easy to throw in and try something a little new he probably wouldn't have bought himself.
You're probably right about that. This is all good. By the way, I'm sure you all don't know this, but you're just shopping for Kurt right now. You're just giving me ideas. So really, we are going to take a little break, but I want to talk about technology gifts, if that is high on your list. Or are we bringing it back to more hands-on, handmade, something touchy-feely rather than something very digital? And then the other thing that I'm super interested in talking about is underwear. For all of those men that are adjusting themselves, do we buy them underwear and have them in their stockings? No, I'd wrap it up in a big box and get them a bunch of pairs. We're going to do that when we come back. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about presents this afternoon and the big WGN. I haven't started any of my Christmas shopping. In studio with me is the lifestyle expert from Bloomingdale's, Katie Crabtree, and the Chicago Tribune fashion and consumer editor, David Syrick. Hi, guys. Oh, wait, let me turn your microphones on. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you doing?
So before the break, I threw out underwear. I mean, people probably want to get you something of substance, and I'm going to get you underwear. Can I do that? Is that a no-no, or I shouldn't get it for strangers, probably?
I'd say probably not.
They literally both just rolled their eyes at me. Like, what a bad idea.
I think a guy likes to pick out his own underwear.
Really?
Yeah.
So the underwear is a no.
I think there might be some exceptions if you're buying something really special,
You're blushing.
I would get stocking stuffer, maybe. Like, if you need to throw something in the stocking, maybe. But wrapping up, I think we've got some other items that would be better.
Okay, I think in line with that type of thing, pajamas or a really plush robe would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. But the plush robe never gets worn. It's like, oh, here's a lovely plush. And anybody, right? So somebody gave me a robe. I'm like, great, I love it. Never wore it. Ever once. Because why? Because I'd rather be in my comfy clothes. I don't know why. But okay, let's go. General rule of thumb when thinking about gift buying, not only for a man, but for a woman. And then we're going to go into technology gifts, maybe, and some entertainment stuff.
Well, I think if you're stuck for a gift, really think about the person's daily routine. Think about things they do day in and day out, and how can you make that more special for them so that every morning when they wake up and, you know, they're in their getting ready for work mode, how can you brighten that day a little bit? So I think there are things that guys use, for example, shaving. Go Lux. You know, anyone can buy a can of shaving cream, but go fancy. Get something nice, you know? It's not the $5 shaving cream. Maybe it's the $25 shaving cream. But every morning, he's going to use that and feel really good about it. So I think about the person you're buying for and what they do in their life.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because I think in today's world, a lot of us, if we need something, like, oh, I'm just going to go to the store and buy it. Like, I really like that sweater. I'm going to go buy it. I need some shaving cream. I'm going to go buy it. But maybe I'm not buying the expensive stuff.
Right.
Maybe I'm not buying the fancy sweater. I'm just buying a look, or I'm buying a necessity. So we want to up that gift-giving item for the person.
Right, and sure. Like the example I used with the shaving cream, you know, you're on a daily basis, you're not going to buy $20 or more shaving cream. But in the end, for a holiday gift, that $20 isn't breaking the bank. So it's a perfect way to kind of get the best of both worlds.
Oh, but that $20 adds up and adds up and adds up. All those people with those beards you want to shave off. What about technology? Technology gifts? Technology gadgets? Is that a trend that we're seeing in stores today?
We're definitely seeing it at Bloomingdale's. One of the big things right now is the Google Smart Light starter kit that we have. So it comes with a bulb and a Google Home device, and you can turn on and off your lights and control it by the sound of your voice.
Wow.
And then another one that has been really popular is the Beats by Dr. Dre, the wireless headphones. So again, that kind of plays into that every day, how do you elevate that? They're going to work and commuting, listening to music, but the Beats by Dr. Dre is going to give them a better sound quality, a little bit less pressure on the ears, and something, because it is maybe a slightly higher price point, they maybe wouldn't buy for themselves.
But the Beats, that's been around for a while, right? Those headphones?
Yep. They have the new wireless ones that kind of curve on top of the ear, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to eliminate the pressure inside your ear canal.
Oh.
And they come in a couple fun colors as
that,
well.
Now, that's a gift I need it, but I wouldn't buy it for myself.
Same with me.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best part about getting a gift. It's something that you love and you're going to use, but you wouldn't splurge on yourself with that item. I think it's a real treat.
I
mean, really, it's not about how many gifts you give at the holidays. It's what you give. And
you're
so
right.
Just put a little thought into it. Think about the person you're giving it to.
Which I think then, as the receiver, you're like, wow, that was so thoughtful. How did they know? You know? But I always get stuck in that world. So are we seeing, does it have to be a general male-female gift? Or can we just do something that's more, gender neutral, sort of like in any world of cooking or entertainment or even fashion?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the gender neutral or doing something for a couple, a gift together for a couple, is really great. So we have, you know, some fun backgammon or chess sets that are Lucite by Sunny Life, and those can sit out on your coffee table and are a really great decor piece, but also great if you know that couple loves to entertain a lot.
I love the backgammon, like just get a game set.
Right.
How fun is that? I feel like that kind of went away, but giving somebody dedicated that they could put on their coffee table.
Yeah, and I think to touch on that, entertaining is so big, especially in Chicago. None of my friends in New York entertain. Everyone goes out. And yeah. In Chicago, everyone goes to someone's home. And so it's a great opportunity to look for really beautiful wine glasses, anything, and beautiful platters and trays, things that your friends can use. You'll see them in use when you're enjoying the party.
And that's what makes it so special. Yeah. Like you bring them a nice platter or wine glasses or what have you, and then you see them using it the next time you go over there. One of my favorite things, this is a tip from Jane, is I like the semi-homemade mixed with something store-bought. So if I'm going to give a platter, maybe I make them a loaf of bread, or I give them the ingredients to make like a soup, and I, you know, or I make some napkins that go in a basket along with, you know, some cheese and crackers, so that you're getting both. You're getting that semi-homemade mixed with something that's bought, because, you know, I know people are like, oh, you made this. Either they're just thrilled or they want something else. So if you can back that up with something little that's store-bought. Good idea? Bad idea? These are both staring at me like I have three heads.
I think it depends on who you're buying for. We have like a candle making set. And that was one of the things. Actually, I was in the store the other day. Hopefully my sister isn't listening. She loves candles. But it is something a little bit different. She would probably never buy a candle making set for herself.
Right.
But it is kind of mixing that like homemade quality, but also something, you know, that she bought at a store. If she doesn't like it, she can return it.
I think it's cool, though. I love the idea of giving the gift of something that you can make, because either it can collect dust, she could sell it on eBay, or she can try it. And if it works, then look at, she's got a new hobby.
Right, exactly.
Have you, either one of you, ever heard of an app called Canopy?
Ooh,
no.
No.
So I looked it up online, and I'm sorry that you don't, because I read about it, and then I eagerly went to go find it. It's not available in the U.S. yet. Bummer, because Canopy is a search gathering app that curates all the coolest stuff from Amazon and puts it in sort of a list. And so it gives you ideas in different areas. And I saw the website, just Canopy with a C, but unfortunately we can't get it here in the U.S. because I don't know, it was a U.S. email that I got. I don't think they knew that you can't get it. But neither one of you know it.
No, but that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
I think more and more shoppers are looking for that kind of curated selection of items rather than just being bombarded with a bunch of stuff. And then it just adds to the stress and frustration. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that. Even in larger department stores, there's a more curated aspect, and then smaller boutiques.
Neckties?
Neckties, yeah.
I'm going to have to put a no on that one.
See, I meant neckties for my dad. That's a dad gift for me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Guys don't wear ties anymore.
Guys don't really wear ties anymore. And if they do, and they want to make it something really personal that they really can respond to, so I think they want to pick it out themselves.
So I have a quick question, guys. And this is probably because I just turned 30 and I had two friends that just had a baby. So I'm looking for a great gift for him and a great gift for her that isn't like too much about the baby, but a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like first time dad, first time mom situation. What do you guys think would be a best Christmas gift for them?
I think anything that's about self-care. You know, I'm kind of in the same situation. I've had a lot of friends lately who have had babies, and if you can get them something like, I don't know, a gravity blanket or, you know, a nice lounge set. So if you're a new mom, you're staying home, and instead of just staying in your pajamas, you feel like you've made a little bit of effort if you've got on a cute lounge set. Something that's about them, because they've gotten so much about the baby.
That's a good one, actually. I never heard of that.
Great. Yeah, I think the more personal, the better. I think just, you know, don't become overwhelmed with the notion that there are only 12 days left and what am I going to do? It's not an OMG. It's just think about your friends, think about your family, what their life is all about and what they'd really enjoy.
That sounds really good.
So the gravity blanket is that really heavy weighted blanket, mm-hmm. right? That it's just when you get under it, it's supposed to calm and soothe you. It lowers your stress.
Yeah, we have some that are like 15 pounds or 20 pounds, mm-hmm. but then they're also really like fuzzy and comfortable. People swear by them.
And actually, some people use them in medicine for like lowering mm-hmm. stress, anxiety, and it helps you sleep better.
Sleep better,
yeah.
Exactly.
I think You do sleep better.
But imagine giving somebody a gravity blanket. You're like, here you go. Because
it's really hard to pick them up.
Yeah. What about giving the gift that comes month after month after month? I love those.
I love them too. Oh, well, I guess it depends. But last year I got a fruit of the month subscription from a friend, and it didn't seem that exciting at first, and I loved it.
A fruit subscription?
Yeah.
And when the pears come, that really bums me out. I like I got my brother and his wife a monthly subscription for coffee for 6 months. I did it kind of selfishly. I go there because I also shoot a TV show in Arizona that doesn't air here, but I stay with them and I drink all their coffee.
Oh.
So I got them a gift that benefits me. Oh, you know what? I have just, okay, last bit of advice from both of you guys, then we're going to take a break.
I would say just make sure that you are getting something that they wouldn't get for themselves, typically. And I think we've got a lot of product that they wouldn't typically find in the store. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're going into one of our gifting items, you're going to find something that will wow them.
David? And I just say keep it connected to their interests, and it's not about how many gifts you're giving. It's about finding something special.
Thanks, guys. David Sirik from the Chicago Tribune Fashion and Consumer and Katie Crabtree from Bloomingdale's. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. WGN. Hi, I'm Jane Monzuris in for Anna DeVlantis this afternoon. I mentioned at the top of the show that I've been hosting Living Healthy Chicago on WGN-TV for 10 years. I feel like I know a lot about everything, but not enough to be an expert. So you will see my next guest on Living Healthy Chicago tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV. We're talking about mental health development for children. So he was our expert on the show, giving parents three tips on how to help promote good mental health. And he's from the Erickson Institute. Please welcome Jeff Nagel. He is the president and CEO of the Erickson Institute and has more than 20 years experience of addressing the needs of young children and families through policy research, direct services, and education. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I mean, you were fantastic on the show tomorrow. We don't want to, you know, maybe a spoiler alert. We're going to talk a little bit about the tips about mental health, but we'll go into other avenues. And I think on Living Healthy Chicago, our goal is to educate, inform, and entertain Chicagoans about living a healthy life, whether it be, you know, from physical, mental, nutritional, but not only adults, but kids too, which is why we felt it important to reach out to you to dive into maintaining and promoting good mental health for kids. But before we go into that, the Erickson Institute is where you're from. And a lot of people may think that that is because of Eric Erickson and his concepts of teaching. Is it the same place?
Right. So the Erickson Institute has been in Chicago for 52 years, and it's an incredible gem, not just in Chicago, but really the entire country. Because there's no other place in the entire United States that's like it, in that it's a graduate school, so people get master's degrees focused on young children. It's a policy center, and it's also a direct service center, meaning we provide direct mental health services to children and family, actually 10,000 children across the state.
Wow. Wow. So you're doing a lot of good work at the Erickson Institute. And you do a lot of advocacy work for children.
That's right.
And you do that as part of your role in the Erickson Institute.
Right. So we feel that our role, it's very important to do a lot of policy and advocacy work, bringing good information to policymakers and decision makers. And that could be starting from the basics of why is child development and early childhood experiences important, all the way up to details around, you know, data and what's going on for children in the city and throughout the state.
But I like that you're educating and you have programs for higher education, but you're also on the ground really helping.
Exactly. And we've really tried to be more focused on working in communities. So sometimes we'll work very deeply in a specific community, as well as work on large state policy issues as well. So really attacking it from both ends.
And then I'm like, hey, you want to come on the radio show?
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
Jane, I don't have time. I'm helping kids. On the show tomorrow, on Living Healthy Chicago tomorrow, we talk about promoting good mental health. So let's just give a preview. The word attachments comes up. What does that mean? Like your kids are attached to you?
Right. So attachment.
So this is number one, tip number one.
Okay. So when we talk about attachment with young children, we're really talking about how children are biologically wired from the get-go
right.
to seek proximity and closeness to their primary caretakers, to seek comfort and support and nurturance, and to seek protection. So those are what the child is really gravitating toward. And of course, as a parent, you're biologically wired to provide those things. And so there's this relationship that forms, and the word relationship is the key to the whole ballgame. So for young children, how they experience the world is going to be through relationships. So in real estate, you might say location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
For early childhood development, you say relationships, relationship, relationships.
So it's sort of, you know, think about the people, maybe grandma takes care of the grandchild every day and because parents are working. Does that mean that parent should say, okay, I need to really carve out some, spend some really good quality time with my child because I want to create this relationship? Because they, as a baby, you could formulate that attachment with grandma or a nanny or, you know, the babysitter.
That's right. It doesn't have to be with just one person. So you can have a strong attachment relationship with your mother, a strong attachment relationship with your father, with your grandmother, your grandfather, the child care provider. We don't really know, is there a maximum amount that any child can have? But what we really want is for every child to have at least one adult in their life who's wildly, crazy, irrationally in love with them, who's going to be there for them through thick or thin, no matter what happens, good or bad. We want at least that. And if you have multiple of that in your life as a young kid, all the better.
Right. Exclamation point. So I mean, I think it's sort of like, of course there's that person in every child's life, but I'm guessing from what you're saying is it's the number one important tip, there's not.
Unfortunately, the reality is there's not. That doesn't mean that every child doesn't have someone who loves them.
Mm-hmm.
But how that plays out and manifests and provides the support, the protection, the nurturance sometimes isn't as healthy as we would all hope. And then you see those problems play out for the child when they get into more public settings, be that school, be that childcare, wherever. And then it's incumbent upon the adults to interpret that appropriately rather than blaming the child, understanding that we need to support the child. And that's where the breakdown really happens. So if a child is, quote unquote, misbehaving in a childcare classroom, maybe acting out, lashing out, hitting, biting, whatever, that really gets the adult's attention and they want it to stop. Versus really trying to understand why is the child behaving that way, what's happening that is causing them to be so kind of unnerved or on edge or reactive or overactive that they're behaving that way. They need our help and support, not our punishment and told to behave.
Wow. So the acting out could stem from something. Now that I'm adult, I know this. When I was in second grade, one of these kids in my classes had some behavioral issues and he threw a chair at the teacher. I happened to be standing right next to her. And that back then it was like, what are we going to do? You know, this kid's misbehaving. But essentially, I think probably what you're saying, it stems from something going on.
Exactly.
At
something.
Home.
Right. So think about it even in your adult life. When you're upset about something,
yeah,
you may behave in a less than optimal way and you may actually behave in a way you have to apologize for later. But as a little kid, to manage all of those feelings and, you know, what we talk about, the disorganization of those emotions, it's beyond you. And you need adults to help you manage that, understand that, alleviate the stress and tension that you're feeling that causes that explosive or disruptive behavior. And we really have to shift as adults to look at these things through a social and emotional lens, a mental health lens, and see ourselves as a support system rather than as disciplinarians.
That's fantastic. I love looking at it in that way. So we're in studio with Jeff Nagel from the Erickson Institute. I do have a question about emotional is more important than cognitive. We're going to talk about that when we come back from break. You can see Jeff tomorrow on Living Healthy Chicago, my show on WGN-TV. We'll be right back. Hey, perfect that we're talking about specialty care because in studio with us is Jeff Nagel from the Erickson Institute. And Jeff and I were just talking about promoting good mental health for your kids. And Jeff will be on Living Healthy Chicago tomorrow. And so we're sort of going through, maybe we're diving a little bit deeper into the topics that we covered on TV. Sure. And before the break, one of the things I find fascinating is that experiential exposure is more important than cognitive learning for, say, a little toddler.
Right.
I mean, this is good news for me when I was three. what do you mean by that? Because we want our kids to be able to speak and to put a sentence together and learn their ABCs in math, and we want that to happen.
Right. So we have a lot of attention in our society on cognitive development
right.
before school.
Like my kid's the smartest.
My kid's the smartest. My kid can read. My kid knows the alphabet. My kid can recite, you know, you can count to 30 or count to 100 and tell you the days of the week and everything. So those are all cognitive abilities or cognitive skills. But the research tells us, and there's lots of great research on this front, is that the most predictive skills that will predict educational achievement and outcomes are skills around self-regulation, how you can manage your emotions, and what's known as executive function, which is a fancy way of talking about your ability to plan, to reason, and problem solve. Now, a lot of people may think that those are skills you do much older, but the foundation of that is in early childhood. And, you know, if you think about what we're asking children to do when they go to school, yeah, we want them to, quote unquote, learn cognitive things. But what we're really trying to do is learn how to plan, to reason, and problem solve. So I'll give you some examples. When you learn the alphabet, or when we're teaching children the alphabet, we throw these 26 letters up there and we say, okay, kids, all of these letters have their own sound, except letters like C, which sound like a K, except when they sound like an S. And you have to kind of remember that and manage that and like,
right.
What are you going to do with that information? Or the number zero means something when it's alone, and it means something very different when it follows another digit. Or the word tail, fairy tales are one of their favorite things,
right.
But we also admonish kids to not pull the dog's tail or pull the cat's tail. You and I know those are different words, but to a young child, that's the same word. So they're constantly getting this contradictory information and all these rules, and they have to kind of process that and remember it and apply it, and they learn how to do that, which is amazing. But their ability to do those things is much more predictive than just their what we think of as IQ. So if you give a kindergarten teacher a child who knows how to get along with others, who knows how to form friendships and create relationships, has a love of learning and is excited about being there, can sit still and pay attention, that teacher is going to have no problem teaching them all of the cognitive things we want kindergartners to learn. But if the child doesn't have that skill, they're going to struggle much more, even though they may have the quote-unquote intelligence, the cognitive intelligence to learn what we want them to learn. But it all goes together. They're all connected. I'm not trying to say it's one
right.
exclusive of the other. But if you had to pick one, unfortunately, the one that we choose as a society has been much more focused on the things that we all know more about, which are the cognitive abilities.
But I don't remember doing all that learning as a little toddler. It's because it's happening
the time.
Right. You're just constantly picking up something and you're learning every day. When you say experiential and not pulling the dog's tail, you want them to see that dog and see the tail. That's an experience that they have so they can then associate it.
Well, experience, again, so I was saying that children experience the world through relationships. So you think about what language is a child capable of speaking when they're born? And the answer to that is they're capable of speaking any language ever known to man. But what language are they going to speak? They're going to speak the language or languages that they experience.
Right.
So that's what I mean by experience. So your experience in the world, a positive, nurturing, stimulating, loving, supportive experience, which we all want for our kids, or the extreme flip side of that, scary, frightening, stressful, you know, bad things are happening in your home, in your community. All those things obviously they're only not good, but they're actually negative for you. But all of those experiences, just like all the experiences in our life, makes up who we are. And that starts from the earliest days.
I see this now. So let's switch gears here and talk about holidays and children's mental health in the holidays. Adults get the holiday blues. It can be a stressful time for us. Does that then trickle down to the kids?
Well, it can, because if we as adults are sad, depressed, or whatever our emotional state is.
Lonely, anything. Yeah.
And you're also caretaking for a child. If you're depressed, your ability to be emotionally present and connected and in a strong, positive relationship with the child, it's that much more challenging. You know, parenting is the hardest job in the world. We all readily acknowledge that. So if you're off your game, if you will, if you're depressed, if you are struggling with other areas in your life because of stress, then that obviously distracts you from really attending to the relationship, which is so critical to the child, and it's how the child experiences the world. So if how they experience the world is impaired a little bit from the stress of life, that's obviously going to impact them.
Yeah. I have an example here. A friend of mine is a single mom, and her three-year-old daughter wants the Barbie dream house. It's a life-size Barbie dream house. It costs like $400. Well, she got it for her, and I said, is she going to expect more? Like, does she think Santa's bringing a lot more gifts? And she said, no. You know, I explained to her that this gift is what she gets because all the other kids at the family will be getting multiple gifts. So when you're three, you don't understand that mommy works a lot and very hard and the value of a dollar. So how should she be sort of managing those expectations for that three-year-old? Or is she doing it right by saying, you know, this is what you're getting from Santa?
Yeah, that's a tough question.
And, but the three-year-old doesn't know.
Every parent has to navigate that. The reality is, what does the kid really want? What are they asking for? They're asking for time and attention and love from their parent. So whether you give them a big Barbie house, if you hand it to them and you expect them to go off and play by themselves versus doing it with them, or you give them a much less expensive gift, but you participate in that gift with them and you spend time playing, you know, whether it's a coloring book, which may cost a few bucks, and then you spend time coloring or admiring their coloring work, that will be a gift that they will never forget compared to the $400 Barbie house. If they don't get to do that Barbie house, especially at the age of three in your example, if they don't do that with the adults in their lives, it's not going to have as much meaning.
It's not going to mean anything. They won't even remember it, but they will remember playing with mom and dad in that Barbie house. What about you're going to big parties? Everyone's probably going to go to a party or host a party or be among strangers in the next 2 weeks. Kids have this relationship and attachment with the ones they love. What about, go ahead, go get granny a big kiss. Should you push them into other people?
Yeah, that's a real struggle because we as the adults, when grandma comes in, we want them to...
Of course, it's our favorite little grandchild, yeah.
Family, absolutely. But if it's grandma who they don't see very often, they may kind of see that person as a stranger.
Yeah.
And while we know that person's not a stranger and that it's the grandmother, what does that mean to the child? And so we do have this habit in our society that it's perfectly okay to go to tell the child, I know you don't feel comfortable, but you need to go hug this person. And they're allowed to touch you and wrap their arms around you. Yet in lots of other examples, we're trying to tell children, don't let strangers touch you. So we probably need to be more careful about that and let the adult, who's kind of a stranger to the child, spend a little time before they maybe hug later in the evening.
Like they say, we need to warm up.
Exactly.
Like they'll warm up in just a little bit.
Exactly.
So the adult should not be offended if the child still needs to warm up.
They definitely should not be offended. But of course, there is the connotation there is if they don't like me.
Yes.
And that's part of this whole thing is about the adults not understanding the world from the child's perspective. But from the child's perspective, it isn't that they're making a statement of I like you or don't like you. They're just saying, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Can we spend a little time together and then we can hug later?
Then I'll make my decision on whether or not I
exactly
want.
Exactly right.
And then what if the kid, you know, you see kids, they don't get what they want, or they're just a little tired and cranky, or they're throwing a fit, or something happened that could upset them. Do we scold? Do we yell? Do we understand? How do we sort of approach that? You know, we parents see their kids freaking out and they want to just say, stop it.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, when we're all in that bad place, whether we're 2 or 4 or 40, when we're in that bad place, that's a hard time to receive corrective direction. So you may want to instead just remove the child from the situation,
mm-hmm.
wait till they calm down, and whether that's later that evening or just the next day, talk about the event or what happened. Again, understanding it from their perspective, how is the child experiencing this situation, and trying to put yourself in their shoes will go a long way to helping you as the adult manage the situation better and having more empathy for
manage
the child
and
building your relationship with the child. Because you really have to be their rock, be there for their nurturance and support and protection. And that's really the
fantastic
key to the game.
Fantastic. Great information. Jeff Nagel from the Erickson Institute. He will be our expert on Living Healthy Chicago tomorrow morning on WGN-TV at 9 a.m. Jeff, thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge.
Thanks so much for having me. It's
thank you. Happy holidays.
Here. Same to you.
And we'll be right back. There you go. All I want for Christmas is whiskey. Yeah, it is. Well, the party just walked in. I might need some corrective direction after this interview, guys. I'm not really sure. We're taking it all over the place. But what I am sure of is that 95% of us are going to either be hosting a party, going to a party, thinking about a party in the next 2.5 weeks or so. So we're talking about holiday cocktails, and who better to bring in than the party people from Dorian's Through the Record Shop. In studio with me is Zach Eastman and Shelly Mercurio. Shelly Mercurio.
You got it.
Hi, kids.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Beautiful ring to it.
It really does. I want to drink it. It sounds so good.
Hey.
Mercurio.
Not for free.
Not for free, sister. Okay, so listen, Dorian's Through the Record Shop, for people that don't know, is this really cool restaurant, bar, cocktail lounge, but you can't get there, or let's say the only way to get there is if you walk through a proper record shop.
Correct.
That is correct.
So explain to me, like, do I know it's there? If I didn't know that there was a bar behind the wall, would I know?
You know, a lot of people, we do get some people that walk in genuinely just looking to shop at a record store, and then they hear the music, or the hostess behind the front desk will ask if you're here for Dorian's, and they have this face that just kind of goes, what? And that's how some people find out, which I think is pretty cool.
It's so cool, especially those secret little places.
Mm. And the door kind of slides. It's a pocket door that just like slides across, and it's like, boom, magical.
Wow. And then you're in this world of food and drink, mm-hmm. and entertainment and fun. So to just give us an overview, Dorian's, you get in there. You don't have to buy a record.
You don't, no. Mm-hmm. But all the records are for sale.
In the record shop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Correct.
Separate owners or the same group?
No, same group. And our programming director, Joe Brill, who has been in the music industry in Chicago for a very long time and is a huge piece of the industry here, is a huge collector himself. And he's got 20,000 records or so at his house. Maybe I shouldn't say that on air, but who wants to go sifting through 20,000 records? But him and his friends are all collectors, and they actually stock our entire store together. And we just work on consignment deals. So most of the records you see in there are from collectors. They're not like, we're not buying them from a distributor. They're actually people's collections.
And then they want to sell them?
Yeah, well, you know, these people have so many records, and they're kind of in the business of selling records.
All right, so they buy and sell, and then it happens here. And so let's tell everybody where Dorian's is at.
1939 West North Avenue.
So it's North Avenue, Milwaukee, and Damon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Wicker Park, Bucktown neighborhood?
Right next to Asri Gardens, the flower store.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah, they're the best.
I mean, now's the time to get flowers. So.
Honestly, and they have the most beautiful flowers you've ever seen.
Go get your flowers, and then go buy a record, and then stop in and have a drink.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
Okay, so let's talk about holiday cocktails. Because you two are the cocktail king and queen, right?
This is correct.
Are there flavors that we should be looking for during the holidays?
Yes. There's a lot. Well, yeah, we were talking a lot about this over the last 24 hours. And, you know, there's so many flavors. But I think for us, it's a lot of the baking spices, cinnamon, mm-hmm. nutmeg.
I like rosemary a lot in the wintertime. Yeah. Things like fennel.
Is it important? So when you're thinking of these spices, mm-hmm. and you're thinking about these flavors, like, yeah. Now I've got cakes and cookies in my head, and I've also got like a roast beef, you know, like a leg of lamb with some other things. But I want to put that in a cocktail.
Yes.
Is it important to use fresh ingredients, and does it change the taste of what we're making?
Always.
Yeah.
Always use fresh ingredients.
It's just like, who likes canned pineapple over fresh pineapple? You know?
Yes.
Serial killers.
So when we're thinking about these holiday drinks, give me an example of one that, say, I can make tonight if I'm having a dinner party. One of the things I love to do is have a specialty drink. At my wedding, which was 8 weeks ago, we did.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
we had a specialty drink called The Last Word.
Mm-hmm. Love those.
Green chartreuse. And it was so fun to have this drink. We called it Kurt's Last Word. But is there an idea that you could give our listeners right now that they could go get the ingredients, not too difficult, and will always taste good?
For sure.
Yeah.
You have that honey punch or a honey cider?
Yeah, this past Thanksgiving, you know, like, previous holidays, I would do like more complicated drinks. So this talk right here is actually like very present day for me. My family told me to stop overthinking it because it would take too long. And I totally get that because like your time is better spent
for me making the mashed potatoes and hanging out and pouring wine for everyone, but also we want to spend time with family and not like clarifying some punch with milk or, you know, doing something that's like not necessary. So this past one I did, I used Plantation rum. I used Elijah Craig small batch bourbon, and I took honey 1-to-1 with cider just bought from the store in the jug.
Like apple cider.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I cooked it down on a lower heat and made a syrup with that, and had some fresh lemon juice. And basically it's a French 75, just like modified. And the measurements would be one bottle of rum, one bottle of bourbon, and then about 18 ounces of this honey 1-to-1 cider, 18 ounces of fresh lemon juice. And then just get a good extra dry bottle of Prosecco.
Wow.
Yeah, put some ice in a pitcher, pour out that first
that
you know, mixture that you make.
That sounds a little complicated, though.
It's not complicated. I'm telling you this. I think people like to make drinks and make food. All you're doing is just combining ingredients that you can purchase at the store, and you're just making one syrup. Syrup is very important.
And syrup is very easy, too.
It's very easy. And the syrup will take you, like, all of 5 minutes to make.
So I gave you a funny look when you said one bottle of rum, one bottle of bourbon. I was like, what? Because I made a cocktail and it was Jack Daniel's cranberry, real cranberries. It made into a syrup with cranberries and orange juice and orange peel.
That sounds delicious. Actually.
But I put in what the it said exactly the exact amount of syrup that you needed to create with a bottle. Not I didn't even use the whole bottle. I used probably like 3/4 of it. And I mean, I was almost fell over. You couldn't drink it. It was too strong.
Did you add ice or water to that?
Of course.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe that recipe is just too strong.
Maybe it's meant to be strong.
Yeah. Maybe. And so that's where I'm going with this. People can modify.
Yes. Yeah. They can definitely modify the flavor.
If it's too spicy, bring it down.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's too boozy, how do you fix that if you've made this punch?
Sugar. And acid.
Yeah.
In a punch, right? Because you're going to use lemon juice or pineapple juice or orange juice or lime juice in your punch most likely. So, you know, you can adjust and cover up that alcohol or those flavors of the booze with those two ingredients.
Yeah, they're shaking their heads. Yes, that's the way to go. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't really drink that heavy stuff. I'm like, I love a good champagne. Champagne cocktails, are they still cool?
They were never not cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
we love them. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But we were talking last night and, you know, it's more about Prosecco. Champagne for us and for I think a lot of people at home, because champagne technically, you know, like real champagne is expensive.
Yes.
And Prosecco is much cheaper. It's just as good. I don't know. I think that might cause a riff.
Yeah, among the Prosecco people and the champagne people. But I get it. You're more apt to use a Prosecco that is not going to cost you, you know, I don't know.
An arm and a leg.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. And don't you want to drink champagne?
Yeah.
As champagne.
I do. You know I want to drink straight champagne.
Yeah. And the Prosecco goes really well with the
cocktail. What would you mix into Prosecco?
Well, like that last drink we just talked about. What else?
I mix cranberry juice with Prosecco. I love that.
And then you can put some cranberries in there.
Yeah. I like cranberry juice, Prosecco, and a sprig of rosemary is really delightful with a little bit of sugar to kind of bring the bitterness down a tad. But we have, at Dorian's, we have this lovely champagne cocktail that has saffron and orange.
Ooh.
And it's really nice. And it's got a cognac base as well. So it's really nutty and really warm feeling.
So the sky's the limit, really, when it comes to Christmas holiday cocktails. We're going to talk more about that. I have questions about ice cubes when we come back. 720 WGN.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. But have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly.
Yes, the holidays are always better with a little cocktail and cheer. Joining me in studio, we have, oh boy, could we call you mixologists, bartenders? What do we call you?
I prefer bartender.
Because it's cool, right?
Mixologist is for those people that have the curly mustaches and the bow ties.
Oh, right.
Bad attitudes.
Scientists. From the Dorian's through the record shop, Zach Eastman and Shelley Mercurio. We're talking about holiday cocktails, different spices, different ideas that we can use if we're going to a party tonight, in the next week, in the next 2 weeks. You've got some ideas for us. I have a question about ice cubes.
Love ice cubes.
So you see those big, huge rocks ice cubes, and you see the ones that are super clear. is, does the quality of ice matter? And what kind of ice you're using?
I don't. I mean, I guess to some degree, yes and no. I think to get the super clear ice cubes, traditionally you would use filtered water. And it's a longer process to get it that see-through. But honestly, if you're using, say, the round circular ice cubes and you drop it and it's not filtered water, you haven't babied it whatsoever, you just put it in the mold and pop it out, as soon as you drop that in your drink, it's going to crack in a way that kind of looks like a galaxy, and it's very cool.
So you like the round ice cubes?
I do. The round ones are my favorite. But I like the big squares also, but the round ones have my heart.
But also, you know, for a punch over the holidays, I don't, you know, just use the cubed ice out of
your refrigerator. Yeah, just use regular old ice.
And the, you know, and the different size and like the different types of ice are all, the whole conversation is based on dilution, right?
Yeah,
and like how
right.
quickly your drink yeah. dilutes. But yeah. for the punch, you know, start with a little bit, let that water get in there. You want the water.
Yeah, you know, I like to water down some of my cocktails. But I was asking about the big ice cubes. We did some for that cocktail, The Last Word. We did, well, I don't even think we were supposed to put an ice cube in it, but we made some big cubes and put pictures in them.
Oh.
So they were completely nice. Clear. When the ice cube melts, which I'm understanding it probably doesn't melt really fast because it is such a block.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't melt, right?
It takes a while.
Yeah, so that picture inside, what happens? Is it a piece of paper? Have you seen it before?
I have never seen those before, but that sounds fun.
It's super fun. You should all try it at home, but you have to use water that will dry clear.
Yeah, we should put that on your prep list, Shelley.
I just gave you guys some
more. I'm going
to
fire myself now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Important to use proper glassware. When we're thinking about champagne, there's the coupe, and then there's the champagne flute that we use a lot in the United States. But in France, they use the coupe. You know, this is what they think that you should be drinking champagne out of, or in a rocks glass. You have to drink, you know, burgundy champagne, or I'm sorry, burgundy wine in a red glass. And you have to, you know, does it have to be that difficult? Can't I just have a drink?
So glassware is made the way it is very specifically. So when you pour a red wine into a stemless wine glass, it's so your hands can warm that wine, because people want their red wine to be relatively warm. The stem is to keep your dirty little paws off of it so it stays cold. Mm. So hence why you don't find white wine glasses that don't have a stem, because nobody wants to drink warm white wine.
No, I don't even want to drink warm red wine.
Yeah, see?
I like cool red wine. Okay.
Yeah. That's why most people use the stem, right? And then the red glasses, the burgundies, they have a like much larger opening at the top to get those aromatics mm-hmm. up a little bit more, you know? And the champagne flutes.
Yeah.
The skinnier the flute that, you know, you were discussing or talking about, that is going to hold the carbonation more. It's going to keep that carbonated for longer in your glass. The coupe, you're going to lose the carbonation faster.
But the French people say that they want the coupe because it's wide open and that carbonation can pop in a larger area.
Mm. I like both, honestly, for sparkling wine.
Yeah,
it's all about what aesthetic you're looking for.
I do. I think glassware is all about the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Like, does it match your outfit? Then go for it.
Then we're good.
Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I also,
that's how I feel.
For our friends at home that are having a party, I don't want to stress people out about glassware.
Exactly.
If you have it, use it. If you don't.
If you got it, use it.
Because the most important thing is
the drinking. Booze that's inside of it.
Exactly. The ingredients.
Exactly. I mean, I drink wine out of a solo cup, you know?
I mean, I drink wine out of a bottle.
I had to stop using a solo cup because I care about the environment now. But, you know, I'll drink it out of anything. I mean, I'm not sitting there and savoring it most of the time, right?
Right.
You're here to drink.
Well, I've got your number, Zach. I'm pretty sure I know where you're coming from. I like to enjoy my drink, and I don't guzzle it down. I did have an interesting cocktail in Palm Springs over the weekend. It was a pina colada,
ooh,
which is typically made with rum.
Mm-hmm.
I had it with gin.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah, you were telling me about that.
So the pina colada with gin actually worked. And it
sounds amazing.
And the reason was because the gin allowed you to taste the coconut
yes.
a little bit more. So you guys can feel free to steal that idea.
Gin's my favorite, so I will.
We'll you call can. It Jane's Colada.
Yeah.
Sounds nice. Got
at
a nice
Dorian's.
Ring to it.
Oh, I love that. Okay, thanks. All right, we're done. Oh, no. Can you just, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I really want people to have some nice ideas of cocktails they can make, maybe a dinner party or for New Year's Eve or for any kind of celebration they have coming up. Ready,
yes.
go.
Am I going?
Yeah,
all
we're
right,
going.
All right. One idea I explained a little bit earlier, but you're going to go one bottle of bourbon, one bottle of rum. The rum, we like to use Plantation 3-Star. It's cheap. Feel free to use like $20, $15, $20 bourbon. You're going to make, so one bottle of each of those. That's about 25 ounces each. 18 ounces of syrup. I'm going to tell you how to make the syrup in just 1 minute. 18 ounces of lemon juice. Put that all into a pitcher with some ice.
Yeah.
Pour your glasses and then top those with extra dry Prosecco.
So you're all making multiple drinks at one time with this.
Yeah, you can pour it out. So you pour out your, you know, half glass or whatever glass we're using and then top it off with Prosecco to taste. Mm. And one thing you got to remember about punches on the holidays, it's all about just like how you like it. Like you were saying earlier, you know, like you can put a bunch of stuff in a pitcher and you're probably going to turn out with something good if you're using rum specifically or a good bourbon. That syrup I was talking about is 1-to-1 honey to cider. Get a jug of cider at the store.
Yeah.
Get some just regular old honey. Cook it for like 5 minutes. It's going to turn into a thicker syrup, and that's your 18 ounces. Right,
dark rum is one of my favorite things ever. And so sometimes in the house, I just walk through the hallways going, "Here I come, rum!"
Yeah.
And everybody laughs because it's like 5 o'clock. Here I come, rum.
My kind of people.
Okay,
so do you have another? What's a good idea if you're just making one or two, not necessarily a punch?
Ooh.
So one of the easiest, my friends and I came upon this cocktail, you could call it a cocktail recipe, happenstance on a night of drinking when we ran out of supplies. We did Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey Whiskey and cream soda. Mm. And that is actually super delightful, really yummy.
And super easy, it sounds like.
Yeah, super easy. But you can gussy it up if you want to, like throw a cinnamon stick in there. Ooh. Or, as I've said before, because I love rosemary, a sprig of rosemary.
Let's talk to Jim really quick. Hi, Jim. You have a question about apple pies.
Yeah, apple pie, yes. My buddy made a cocktail is called apple pie, and it was delicious.
And what was in it?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jim. These guys are going to come up with how we make an apple pie cocktail.
Ooh.
You're on the spot.
Well.
Thanks, Jim.
And also, there was a Russian apple cocktail that was made with Crown Royal, apple bitters, and apple pucker, and I don't know what else.
Yeah, okay. That's the Crown Royal apple in there, I think.
So how would you make an apple pie cocktail?
Laird's Applejack brandy, I would say, is first and foremost, because that has a lot of apple punch to it, but the brandy is really nice and round and warm feeling.
Mm.
And I would definitely maybe throw some cinnamon sugar in there, maybe a little bit of nutmeg. What do you think?
I think that all sounds really good.
Yeah.
You know, I think Laird's Applejack is a great move. If we're thinking about things that you could buy at the store without having to, like, overthink
it. Easy to find. Is it Absolute that has the juice?
Oh, that has the apple flavored juice. Yeah. So tons of ideas for holiday cocktails. Really, nothing goes out of style.
Yeah.
Make what you like. Make a lot. Make a punch. I got to thank Zach Eastman and Shelley Mercurio from Dorian's Through the Record Shop. If you're in town, downtown, Wicker Park, go visit them. Happy holidays, guys. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Good information. Yeah, okay, cool. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.